Yeah, God bless your radio audience. Evangelist Rob Wood here. If you desire to go to my website, it's www.robrobbw.com. And in the audio archive section, there are many revelatory nuggets, many messages I believe Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have downloaded to me over the last several decades. Today I want to talk about the anointing is sound release. The anointing is sound activated. There is a sound that is being released from the trumpet of God, from heaven to earth. Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven, let your kingdom come. There is a sound that's being released that is going to release an expression of the kingdom of God to the like that we have never seen before. It's going to shake heaven, it's going to shake hell, and all hell will be broken. I believe the anointing, this sound, will paralyze the enemy on every front. It will reckon him useless in his works, and therefore the gospel, the harvest, will go forth. I believe this sound will literally usher in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in Acts chapter 2, it said, the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. There was a unity amongst them. You know, we don't need division. We need a division-free zone. The word division or dice or two is two people with two different visions. The Bible talks about the unity that comes down from Aaron's beard. It says two cannot walk together unless they're in unity. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Come on, people. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, I believe this sound in Acts 2 is coming on the church now. Revival is now. Numbers chapter 10. Hear this. God told Moses to make two silver trumpets. Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling of the assembly and for the directing the movements of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you. But if they blow only once, then the leaders shall gather to you. So there was a strategic purpose where there was a sound released through the trumpet. And as a result, Moses fashion these trumpets. Now here's why. It says, when you sound the advance the second time, the congregation is to be gathered, but not to sound the advance. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God. Now, in the book of Joel, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. So there is a trumpet being released through the church in this hour, and guess what? The trumpet is in your mouth. There's a prophetic trumpet God is releasing in the mouth of believers of authority to decree and to declare heaven on earth. Now, a little story that actually happened to me. I was going to a Christian conference several years ago. I felt in my spirit that at the hotel, me and my wife and children were going to be staying, there was going to be a false alarm, a fire alarm. 4:30 a.m. in the morning, a fire alarm goes off. People are scurrying around, running in the halls, people in the parking lot. I was at ease in my spirit. Now, you know, I got my wife and my kids, but I'm at ease because I felt the Lord already told me a false alarm or a false fire alarm was going to go up. So we have got to be able to recognize with a prophetic ear, with our ear to heaven, what the Spirit is saying. Not what the Spirit said, but what the Spirit is saying. Now, I obviously left my room in case there was a fire, but I already felt it was a false alarm. I didn't stay there in case there was a fire. I'm not nuts in the head. But there is a sound that is released through the authority. The anointing, again, is sound release. The anointing is sound activated. Judges chapter 7, verse 16. God tells Gideon, Gideon's a prophetic breaker. He's a forerunner. He's a deliverer. There are deliverers coming to a church near you. There are deliverers coming to a city near you. There are deliverers coming to a region near you that are going to cry out like Moses, that are saying, "Let my people go. Let my people go." They're contending with the pharaohs of the land, the religious systems, to release the harvest and the people of God. Now, we know this story with Gideon. He starts out with tens of thousands, like 30,000 people. God whittles it down to 300 men, 300 mighty men. And in Judges chapter 7, verse 16, "Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand." Verse 18, "When I blow the trumpet and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Verse 20, "The three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers." And in verse 22, "When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp." The army fed. So there was a download of strategy that took place to Gideon on how he was going to win the battle. And obviously, this was in the middle of the night. They blew these trumpets. They broke these pitchers. The enemy was probably sleeping. They probably came out of their hotel, their tents and their underwear, their Fruit of the Looms. They were probably nervous. And they fled because the trumpet, the sound that was released prophetically out of their mouth, put fear into the enemy's camp. Again, there's a prophetic sound. There's a trumpet that's going to paralyze the enemy on every front, because the anointing is sound released. It's sound activated. Now, I love this. In Mark chapter 11, the disciples come on the scene, and it said, "Jesus, there's a fig tree. It's not bearing fruit." And Jesus curses the fig tree. He said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." Now, here's the key. Mark chapter 11, verse 14, and it says, "And his disciples heard it." Again, it says, "And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." Now, Jesus comes back in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up." Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, you remember that fig tree you cursed? It's dead. It's withered." Jesus is teaching on authority, on the decree, and to declare the very thing for what we are to see heaven come to earth. Now, let me just say this. Never pray for Jesus to come, because he said he would never leave. I mean, Jesus says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So there's many people, they pray amiss. They pray for finances, in a sense, for finance. But you know what? God says you're blessed. The finances, you just got to outlast your contradiction. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, there are ministries that have built their entire ministry on these verses. Mark chapter 11, Jesus answered and said, "Have faith in God. I say to you, whoever says," key, "whoever speaks to this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." So you cannot go through the mountain. You cannot go around. God's going to remove the mountain. Again, you can't go around it. You can't. God removes the mountains, the valleys, which speak of obstacles, which are obstacles that get in the way between you and your inheritance and your destiny. So I believe as the Father is downloading an authority to us, not like Acts in the book of Acts, you know, these guys came out and they tried to cast these devils out. And they said that actually the devil stripped them naked. And they says, "Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you?" The enemy recognized they did not have the authority. They were not on the cutting edge. They did not have the trumpet. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" In other words, there's a synchronicity. There's a pitch that God is fine-tuning, the same way a conductor fine-tunes an orchestra, the same way a musician puts his guitar, puts into pitch the very instrument that he's going to play. Because again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? Now let me take it back to verse 7. It said, even things without life, flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? Now, I used to be a musician. I used to play guitar. Let me just share this with you. When music is in perfect pitch, it doesn't matter if it's loud or it's not soft or loud. It can be extremely loud, but if it's in perfect pitch, it's very unoffensive to the natural ear. But if it's not in pitch, it's very offensive to the ear because it's out of tune. God is fine-tuning his people the same way a master pianist calls in someone to tune with a tuning fork his piano. And they tune it with a tuning fork for pitch because I believe there's a chemistry, or I believe there's a recipe that releases heaven on earth. Let me say that again. There's a chemistry. I remember when I was a kid, they would have these chemistry sets, and you would take 5 scoops of, you know, one formula, and 8 scoops or 3 scoops, and then as a result, they would come to manifestation the thing or the what you were trying to see happen in this chemistry set. So I believe there's a recipe that releases revival the same way, you know, someone that cooks, a chef, there's 5 dabs of garlic, 7 dabs of oil, whatever. Yeah, I don't cook. My wife cooks. I just use the microwave. But the same way a chef to produce in your mouth to enlighten these taste buds, there is a recipe and there's a chemistry that releases revival, that releases heaven on earth. So, Father, I pray right now, as you fine-tune your people, as you fine-tune the bride, to hear the call of the bridegroom. I believe the bridegroom is calling for the bride to come to a higher place. And I've often wondered in my heart, how in God's name are we going to get these spots, these wrinkles, out of the gown of the bride of Christ? The Lord has a Holy Ghost ironing board. He's got that Holy Ghost spot remover. I believe the greatest days of the church of Jesus Christ are ahead. I remember I was watching a movie, just flicking through channel. I'm not really a movie watcher, but there was a movie called Apollo 13. Towards the end of the movie, there came a time where they had to get the spaceship back to Earth within several minutes, otherwise it would explode. So it's like this NASA type scene. And they're all nervous, they're all in a frenzy, there's anxiety, and they look to the head man in charge, the head honcho, and he says, "Men, with all due respect, I believe this is going to be our finest hour." Let me say this to the church at large. People of God, with all due respect, I believe this is going to be the church's finest hour. God bless your radio audience. Evangelist Rob Wood signing here. If you've enjoyed this show, you can email me at robwood, R-O-B-B, at optonline.net. God bless you. Again, I believe this is the church's greatest hour. There's a Joel's army rising up. You can read about it in the book of Joel. The army of God is rising up. God is not only gathering his people, he's assembling and knitting a many-membered body. God bless you. I love you, and so does the Lord Jesus Christ.